Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. We're going to jump to Luke 24. Don't plan on being real long today. All the kids say amen.
Amen.
Because I know that you're wanting the candy rain. But I believe that since he got up, that tells me that he is here with us. And that there's some lives in this place that can be changed today. I want to give him opportunity to do that. Matthew 16, 18 through 19, it says, "And I say also unto thee," this is Jesus speaking to Peter. He said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. And in verse 19 it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys." Everybody say, "The keys." "Of the kingdom of heaven." Luke 24, 1 through 6 says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared." They were expecting to find Jesus wrapped up dead in a tomb. "But they found the stone rolled away. The door had been unlocked and opened. Then they went in, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this." They were a little confused. "That behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen.'" He is risen. I'm thankful to know today that he did not just come here to die, to be buried, and to simply stay there. But I rejoice and we dance today because I know the grave could not hold him and that he is alive and well today in this place. That's my King. That's my Savior. For a few moments, I want to speak to you on this topic. Unlock your grave. Unlock your grave. You may be seated today. Today in this place, if you were a pilot, you could explain to us how to land an airplane with the knowledge that you have been given. And we're very thankful for that knowledge, especially when we're sitting on that plane.
Amen.
If you're a contractor, and we have some contractors in this place, very talented contractors, you could explain to us how to use wood and nails and other materials to build something with tools that you've been given. And we're thankful for those great skills, especially when you're building something for us.
Amen.
Well, today I stand here as a pastor, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that I can use the tools, the tool, and the knowledge placed in my hand to show somebody in this place today a story of redemption. And I can show somebody in this place, there is hope for you.
Yeah.
There is hope for us today. I want to place in your hands the keys to unlock joy, peace, and salvation. Amen. In your life today. I pray someone will understand that there is hope in a world that is crumbling around us in sin. My desire today is that everyone in this room would leave healed, restored, and set free.
Amen.
Amen. If you live your life by the news headlines, you know that they're all saying that we're on the brink of World War III. Now, I can't promise you what tomorrow is going to hold, but what I can tell you is this. There's a God whose return is coming very soon, yeah. And he has made a way for you and I to go to heaven with him.
Amen.
I can tell you that there are keys that will unlock that door for you today in this place and will give you access to his kingdom.
Amen.
You see, Jesus spoke these words in John 3:17. He said, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Look at your neighbor and say, "He made a way." Look at somebody else and say, "He made a way for you."
He made a way for you.
And you. I was cold, but I'm getting hot already. Amen. You see, everyone in this place have something in common this morning. We all have this problem in this place that we are born with a sinful nature and we inherit it from Adam. Yeah. Romans 5:12, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people. That includes everyone in this room. Every one of us are affected by Adam's sin. There are no exceptions. You cannot get around it. That we see here that every one of us was born into this. That Romans 5:18, one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. That we are all sinners. We all share the same condemnation. David said in Psalms 51:5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And we can find this back in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 2 through 4. It says, and the woman, being Eve, said unto the serpent, that we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said that ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, before the first woman ever gave birth to a baby, she birthed death into the world through her sin of disobedience to the word of God. She was disobedient. Some parents in here, you know what I'm talking about. Your little angel. You tell your child, do not touch that. And somehow, 0.2 seconds later, their hands on it. Some of them touch it before the words even come out of your mouth. It's like they know what you're going to say. I think as parents, we should try something called reverse psychology. I wonder if it would work. Could you imagine? Don't you dare let me catch you cleaning your room. Boy, don't do it. I better not catch you picking up all your toys out of the yard. Uh-huh. Hey, put down that mop. What do you think you're doing mopping the floors? Put down those dishes. I wonder what would happen. As parents, it seems like there are times that they do not, they don't want to do what you tell them to do. And there are times that they don't do what you want them to do, but they do exactly the opposite of that. Can I get an amen from the parents in the house? You see, we have to understand this, that sin was birthed through disobedience.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the original plan that God had for Adam and Eve. God's plan was never death. God's plan was always life. He gave them life. He gave them a tree of life. He gave them anything they could ever want. He told them, there's only one thing that I ask of you. And we find this in Genesis 2:17. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, nor in the day that you eat of it, that you shall surely die. He said, but they didn't die. No, they did not die. Not a physical death in that moment. But they began to die physically, but they didn't die. But spiritually, something in them died when disobedience was birthed or gave life to sin in their lives. Not only did it unlock and open the door to death, but it unlocked and opened the door to sin in the earth. It unlocked the door to sickness and disease and to pain and division. The sin of man created separation between man and God. Genesis 3:9 says that then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? There was never a separation between them until that moment. One act of disobedience unlocked the door to everything that God never planned for man to face. Think about that. It might be safe to say that when Adam sinned, that Satan was given dominion over Adam in all the earth. Therefore, the keys and authority Adam once held had been transferred into the hands of Satan. Thereby, Satan in that exact moment now had the keys, the power of death, and the authority in the earth and hell. Somebody shout, but God. God always has a plan. God had a plan. God's plan was was a resurrection of life. The action of process of reviving someone from an unconscious or apparent death. That he died because of sin, that we may have the opportunity to die out to our sin. You see, Satan unlocked the door to death in the garden through deception. But the Bible tells me that while Jesus was on the cross, that many people were watching, including all of hell. Lucifer, that fallen angel that tried to place himself over God, which was cast out of heaven because of it. He was there watching, and this Jesus who had cast him out of heaven, the same Jesus who had cast him into outer darkness, was hanging, beaten, and broken, and nailed to a cross. And Satan watched, and he watched, and watched. And after 6 agonizing hours, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And his body sunk in death. You talk about rejoicing. Lucifer was ecstatic, and all of hell was rejoicing. You think we were dancing this morning? I promise you there was dancing going on. This was the day that they had been waiting for. The people that he had influenced had finally killed Jesus. And he was saying, "We have won. We've got the victory. He is gone." And on that day, they took him down and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And in the midst of those 3 days in the grave, he visits hell on a Saturday. Jesus visits hell on a Saturday. And I could see it at the knock on the door. And he says, "Take me to where he is." Could you imagine if they think he's dead and yet he shows up? "I thought you were on the cross. I thought you died. What are you doing here?" He says, "Take me to Satan." And he takes him to Satan. Could you picture this in your mind? And he walks up and says, "You thought I was gone. You thought you got rid of me. Remember those keys that you took back in the garden? I'm going to need you to give me those keys. The keys to death, hell, and the grave. I need you to give those back because they never belonged to you. Those have been mine from day one." Understand this morning, that death was born in a garden, but it was killed in a grave.
Yeah.
They nailed him to a tree on Friday. They took him, he took back ownership of the keys of death, hell, and the grave on Saturday. But he wasn't done yet, because on a Sunday morning, he unlocked his grave. And hear me, that when life came back into that broken body of Jesus, there was a resurrection of life that took place when he unlocked his grave. He made a way for us to unlock our own grave. That's where another set of keys come into play. And I told you I'm not going to be long. I won't be much longer than this. But I got somebody, I know somebody who has a big set of keys. You got your keys on you? You always have your keys on you. Can I borrow your keys? I'm just curious. Do you know what every one of those keys goes to? I'm very impressed. He said, "That's why I got them on the ring."
Well,
you shouldn't waste putting keys on your ring that you don't even know what they go to. That's a whole other sermon. Hallelujah. But could you imagine? He says, "Give me those keys back. Those keys belong to me." You'd be in trouble if I walked away with your keys today. You see, I can't have these. I can only borrow these because I didn't purchase these. These aren't mine. I didn't pay for these. There's another set of keys, though. I talked about keys to death, hell, and the grave, but there's another set of keys that come into play, and I'm going to start just going to share this with you. He took back the keys, death, hell, and the grave, but that wasn't the only keys that he had. There's also the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
You see, I want access to the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
If it's available unto me, I want full access to the things of heaven. I want full access to God. I want full access to King. I want to make sure that I'm making heaven someday. I want access to it. You say, "Well, what are those keys?" Well, let me break this down for us just real quick. John 3:1-5, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night," because he didn't want anybody knowing, that he was coming to Jesus. And he came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was saying there's no access to it. He can't see it. And Nicodemus saith unto him, probably the same thing I would have said unto him. He said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Wouldn't you be a little confused if someone said, you got to be born again? I mean, I'm just like, Ma, I don't think you're willing. I don't think this is happening. So Nicodemus had been thinking, what are you talking about? Be born again. That's what he says. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Valid question. And Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, let's jump to Matthew 16, 13 through 19. I'm going to try to break this down. I told you I'm going to use the tools that I've been given and try to build something for you today. It says that when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that he asked for his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who's everybody saying that I am? He wanted to know, what's everybody talking about? What's everybody think of me? And they said to him, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, What a great question. He was saying, Great. Thanks for telling what everybody else thinks. But who do you say that I am? You're my followers. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter speaks up and answers him and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was saying, It's been revealed unto me who you are. I understand now that you're not just some Messiah, you're not just some prophet, you're not just some other man, but I understand that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I understand that you left your throne in heaven and robed yourself in flesh to come and die. You're the spotless lamb that has to. I understand who you are. You're the Christ. And Jesus answered and saith unto him, He said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. He's saying, You didn't think of that on your own. He said, But my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, catch this, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon what rock? Upon the revelation of who he is. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will come against it. They'll fight against it, but it will never prevail against the church. Amen. Here's what I want you to catch today. He says, And I will give unto thee. Who's he talking to? Peter. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What shall thou shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But I want to point out what he says in the very beginning there. He says, Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to give you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if Peter actually understood in that moment what Jesus was saying to him. But he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What's he talking about? The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Let's go here. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 36 and 37. And therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified. So this is after the crucifixion has taken place. He's already been crucified. And Peter's telling them, listen, Israel, know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, when they realized what they had done, when they realized who he was, it says they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do now? How do we make it right? What do we do? And Peter says to him in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, that's a key. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That gets you a key. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It gets you access through the keys. That's the keys he's talking about. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because there is no key to get in. He said, Peter, I'm giving you the keys. And when Peter began to speak, he began to unlock in the world. Peter began to unlock. He said, what shall you do to unlock heaven? You've got to unlock it through repentance. You've got to lock it through baptism in his name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the keys to the kingdom.
My God.
Hear me. Sin tried to lock you up in a grave, but he, Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, he took on your sin and he died on that cross so you and I could have a new birth experience, could be born again. Let me put it this way for you. His death certificate purchased your birth certificate. His death certificate purchased your birth certificate. You see, sin locked you out of heaven, but Jesus gave Peter the keys to unlock your grave this morning, the key to the kingdom of heaven. You say, but Pastor, that was back Bible times. That's a long time ago. You say, does that still apply today? Well, let me give you some good news this morning, okay? Let me give you some good news. Peter didn't stop talking in verse 38. Acts doesn't stop there. I know as Pentecostals, sometimes we can get caught up on Acts 2:38. But I get really excited when I move on to verse 39. Because verse 39 says this, for the promise. What promise? The promise of the keys that Peter spoke about. That promise. That's what I'm talking about. The promise of repentance. You say it's still active today? Absolutely. The promise of baptism in his name and having your sins washed away. That still works today. You better believe it because his name still has power because he's still alive and well today. If he was dead in a grave, then no, it wouldn't work. But because he got up out of the grave, hear me this morning, because he got up, it still works today. And the promise of receiving the gift, it didn't cost you anything. He already paid the price for it. That's why it's a gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you.
Yeah.
And unto your children. This is what Peter told them. He said, it's unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off. He wasn't talking about the next town over. He was talking about time. He was saying generation to generation to generation. He said, until the trumpet sounds and I come back from my church, the promise is still alive. The keys are still active. You can still unlock your grave because it's still active today. The promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's still available to you today. You don't have to continue living in what you've been living in. Hear me for a moment. I'm almost done. The world will tell you that you're stuck. Hear me. This is what the world will tell you right now. The world will tell you, their message is, is that you're stuck in a grave of anxiety and depression and you can't get out. That's the message of the world today. It's going to tell you, you can't get out of this grave in anxiety and depression. You got to live there. You're stuck there. And Satan will tell you that you're stuck in a grave of addiction. You can't get out. Once an addict, always an addict is what the enemy is going to tell you. But the media will tell you that you should be stuck in a mindset of fear. That all the world's going to fall apart. Everything's going to fall apart. But no, what's going to actually happen is when the things around us that are being shaken is actually falling into place. For the king to return for his church. For those who say, I want the keys to the kingdom. But hear this preacher this morning when I tell you, John 10:10 says, yes, the thief does not come except only to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. But I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hear me this morning when I tell you, because he unlocked his grave. Because the cross couldn't hold him, because they took him down and placed him in a borrowed tomb, and he made a trip down to hell and said, give me back the keys, because they placed him back in the tomb, because he unlocked his grave. He has now given you the ability this morning to take those keys and to unlock your own grave in the things that you've been stuck in. You don't have to be stuck there anymore. You don't have to live with anxiety. You don't have to live with depression. You don't have to live with addictions. You don't have to live feeling down and out all the time. But there's hope. There's joy. There's peace that the keys will unlock for you this morning. Because he lives, you have access to the keys. Musicians can come. That's why we were singing early. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. It went right along. I didn't know they were singing that this morning before I put these notes together. But I'm telling you right now, for somebody in this place, it's your day. You don't have to walk out those doors the way you came in. But the water of baptism is warm and ready. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, for the washing away of your sins, you can leave changed today because the keys are still active. The key is still active. And the best part to know is that the promise of the keys and the activeness of the keys is still for you today.
Amen.
Until the trumpet sounds, the keys are to the kingdom are active. You know what it takes? Here's the beautiful part about it. You understand these were your keys. You moved on me. These were your keys. But when I was willing to walk to him and say, can I have your keys? He didn't hesitate to get up and say, here, you can use them. It's the same way that if somebody in this place today says, Pastor, I don't want to leave the same way I came in. I don't want to wake up tomorrow feeling depressed. I don't want to wake up with anxiety. I don't want to wake up listening to what the world's telling me I have to live. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to do what they tell me I have to do. Guess what? God is here, and he's saying, I'm just waiting on somebody to come and request the keys to the kingdom. I'm just waiting on somebody to come and say, can I have those keys? Can I be baptized? Can I still repent of my sin? Can I still receive that gift that you've given out? Is it still for me today? Yes, it's still for you today. So I tell you, somebody in this place, the keys are available. It's time for you to unlock your grave today.
Yes.
Unlock your grave today. It's time for you to get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get out of that grave. Quit living there. Can we all write down this place? This is just a sign of surrender when you lift your hands to him. You're just saying, God, I want you today. I want you to do whatever you want to do in my life today. God, I want you, Lord, to speak to me today. God, is this something I need to do today, Lord? God, do I need to be baptized in your name, Lord? It's still available to me, Lord. God, then I want to do that. God, I still have the ability, Lord, to ask, Lord, for forgiveness and repentance, Lord. God, to turn away, God, from the direction I'm going and walk back the other way. God, the infilling of your spirit, God. Is it still unto me today? Yes, it's still unto you today. The Lord is telling somebody, unlock your grave today.